Thank you, Nick. I'm not sure how I got sandwiched in here between all the PhDs, because I am not a PhD, but I am going to tell you a little bit about the Nature Conservancy's evolution with sort of soil health and water quality, and our evolution in collaborations with several collaborations that we're now involved with. So give you a little bit of history here. So not so much history, but just a little bit about our organization. We conserve lands and waters which all life depends. That includes people and nature. It's not just about nature, it's also about people. Why would we care about soil health? This is really what drives us as an organization. It's the biodiversity, it's that paddle fish that occurs in the rivers, and it's also the people that use the waters. And then when you look at that background, it's also the agricultural piece that's out on that landscape. That actually happens to be the Wabash River right before it meets the Ohio River there at Indiana, and you're looking across the river there to Illinois. I want to go back a little bit. Our organization has been around for 60-some years, but our work with agriculture has only been around for about 25 years. And as you can see in the upper left-hand corner there, started out pretty humble beginnings with our work in soil health. This was actually an Amish farmer that we were working with back in the early 1990s. And the reason we were sort of doing this, we didn't even call it soil health back then, we were simply trying to keep soil out of the rivers that we were trying to work on. In this case, it was a river in northeast Indiana called, was actually called Fish Creek, and then ultimately the St. Joseph River. But we were down in the soil pits, we were all talking about soil then, but mainly we were talking about soil erosion. And we even did this. This upper right-hand picture's in Brazil. We were spreading across our organization, beginning to work more and more with farmers, sort of focused very narrow-mindedly, but we were all about, at that point in our organization, about helping farmers adopt no-till or some form of conservation tillage. And again, it was all about stopping soil erosion. And this is the work that I was responsible for when I first came to the organization. In Fish Creek in northeast Indiana, we actually doubled the amount of no-till for both corn and soybeans over that period of time. And I think it was Ken that mentioned it, our farmer from Iowa that talked about that ripple effect, local farmers learning new tricks, them sharing it with other farmers, and we were very successful with that. We actually started a program back then with Monsanto called the Risk Protection Program. And I'm pointing this out to you, sort of give you sort of where our minds were, you know, 15, 20 years ago when we were talking about these things. And at the time, the way we were selling no-till, we weren't talking about soil quality, we weren't talking about resilience to drought or rain, we were simply talking about the economics of it. And this is over the course of several years, we actually guaranteed farmers, if they would try no-till, and if they would work with an agronomist, and that agronomist would work with them on a variety of things, from setting up their planter to their nutrient management, seed populations, the right hybrids and everything, we'd guarantee them no economic loss while they made that conversion. And the farmers would enter in that program for usually about 3 years, and they'd start to learn the system, and then they would move on their own. But you can see there in the St. Joe watershed, the average, let's see if this pointer here will work. I don't think I'm getting a pointer there. Whoops. The average, we actually lost 2.2 bushels per acre on corn when we were doing that. But again, back then, the economics always won, and we were actually making the farmer $6.17 more per bushel. And believe me, back then, that was pretty impressive, because the records we were keeping with farmers, you know, a lot of our good guys in that part of the country were lucky if they had a profit of $45 or $50 an acre. And so if you could give them 10% or more profit through this type of management, that was a good selling tool. And obviously we were successful in the Tippecanoe watershed in north central Indiana. You can see there, again, we were losing 6.3 bushels per acre, conventional compared to no-till. But again, still, we were making the farmer $5.75 more per acre. And we all know the reasons why, fuel savings, time, and things like that. But back then, that's what our motivation was. So as an organization, We've evolved a lot since then, and we've certainly evolved into talking about the soil health. But when we think about water quality, this is where our mind is at now. It's that infield practices that we've heard about all day today in this session, but it's coupling those with the edge of field practices and then ultimately the downstream practices. So the infield practices, we've heard all about them today: nutrient management, conservation tillage, cover crops, crop rotations. Those are things that we definitely need to have on the farm field. But consistently, when we're trying to reach those water quality goals, we're seeing that the edge of field practices are really critical as well. So we evolved as an organization pretty deep into monitoring and evaluating a lot of these practices. And certainly not going to try to go through this whole chart, but I do want to point this out. It's a study we've had going since 2006. We made some tweaks to this study, but for 2 years running, and this is actually one of our soil health demo farms with the Soil Health Partnership, for 2 years running, we've been monitoring the tile lines. And we've been monitoring tile lines that have conservation tillage, conventional tillage, cover crops, no cover crops. And for 2 years running here in this watershed, we're seeing a 30% less load of nitrogen coming out of tiles with cover crops. And that's been consistent. You think about it, this is north central Indiana, and we had one of our wettest springs ever this spring. And we're still averaging over those 2 years. So we're very convinced these infield practices we're talking about work. But again, I think as Jerry just said, it's that combination of practices that are critical that we have to work on. I want to talk about a few of these collaborations. So we've evolved a lot. We're no longer, well, we still do a lot of work with individual farmers, of course, but we're starting to work more and more in collaborations. One is in the Western Lake Erie Basin, and we've all seen the headlines of Toledo and drinking water there, but really our goal there has been building relationships to scale up conservation. And in that case, it's really been focused around nutrient management, particularly promoting the four R's. This is a collaboration. That's a diverse group of people, three different states, public sector, private sector, NGOs, all coming together to develop this certification program in the Western Lake Erie Basin. That basically, and I'm going to summarize it very simply, basically says that the ag retailers and the people that are providing advice to farmers, if they want to become certified, are practicing a certain set of recommendations. Yeah, they've established through the industry there what recommendations they all want to be working on. And it's audited by a third party. It is a certification program, but it is voluntary. And again, it's focused on the nutrient service providers. And it's really about promoting the four R's of nutrient stewardship, which again, I think is a key piece to all this. So what's happened in just a little over a year? There's been 21 agribusinesses certified. There's 50 of them in the process right now. Of the ones that have been certified, they cover a little over 1.4 million acres of land. And so they're making those recommendations now to the growers on those practices, the number of farmers there you see. And just in the Western Lake Erie Basin, this is the piece that drains through the Maumee Bay right into the to the bay there through Toledo, just almost 1 million acres there. And I want to just skip that. Again, we're very focused on the science piece of this here. I do want to talk a little bit about the Soil Health Partnership, and hopefully tomorrow people will attend. You have a full session where people can go in much deeper on the this is the type of collaboration as our organization is moving forward, is very interested in being a part of. National Corn Growers are the administrators of it. Monsanto is one of the key partners. You can see the people that are coming to the table with funding to help support this. And the Nature Conservancy is a technical advisor helping with the Science Advisory Council. And the Environmental Defense Fund is also involved in this project. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I know Nick's going to cover it tomorrow in much more detail. But again, this to me goes back to what the Nature Conservancy learned back in the 1990s, that farmers learn from farmers. And if you teach them and can create a ripple effect, you can have an impact on a landscape. What this partnership does, because of the number of demo farms, we're creating multiple ripples across the Midwest. I also like this notion, as we've been hearing in the last couple of presentations, around the research and figuring out how do we actually quantify soil quality, what measures work the best, and then publishing those findings and recommendations, and perhaps more importantly, teaching farmers, and again, teaching their crop consultants. I tell you, and I want to back up to the second one there. The one that is most exciting to me in the Nature Conservancy is the economic piece of this. And again, that goes back to our roots, because we know at the end of the day, farmers make decisions based on economics. And so I think it's critical as we talk about soil quality, nutrient management, that we bring in the economics of that. You see our demo farms as they stand right now across the Midwest. And the last one I'll just mention here, and this one's just early on, and it goes back to a little bit to what Maura started us out with the supply chain. How do we engage the retailers, the food processors, in this discussion about soil health, water quality? And this is one project that's trying to do that. And again, the Field to Market is the group that's leading this and facilitating this collaboration right now. You can see the other people there. This is a project that's just starting to come together. We've been meeting for about 8 months. We're going to touch down in Illinois, Iowa, and Nebraska. Soon we'll start to have some projects on the ground. I'd love to see this group start to partner more with our Soil Health Partnership. I think that's a great collaboration there. But I share this mainly because this is how we feel as an organization we get to scale. I think Jerry or someone mentioned there that, you know, this isn't something that we can have 10% adoption or 20% adoption and solve some of our challenges for both the growers and the environment. So we have to scale this work up. So I'm going to end there. I wanted to make that fairly quick for us today at the end of the day and let Wayne come up here and talk to us about the NRCS initiatives. So.